I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional mega church.
I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel. Ooh, I just love introducing you to new members of our church staff and sometimes people from our community, and I always, and I mean always, find it to be a treat and a treasure. And per usual, joined by my co-host, he's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax, your friend and mine, Gray Haas.
Christ on high, because he's my guy, Hallie. How are you?
Oh, so awesome. Sorry to jump right in if this is too personal a question, but The last couple weeks we've been keeping up with the fact that you've got a stalker.
I know I have a stalker, and it's Hallie, terrifying. Well, it's a good place to start because things are heating up.
Are you serious?
Well, I guess I should say cooling off.
Oh, well, yeah, good. Is
because
that good?
Well, I went to cryotherapy this week.
Cryotherapy,
Hallie. It's where you stand in the booth and they freeze you, kind of like Han Solo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's really good for circulation, for rebuilding muscle. It's a nice thing to do in between days when I'm doing my ice bath or whatever. Hmm. I am in cryotherapy. And you go into this booth, you get completely naked, and they blast you with this cold substance for about, I don't know, a couple of minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And so you can't move. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Hallie, I was just looking kind of over the lip of the doorway of it, of the tube that they stick you in.
Oh, my gosh.
And right when I said, do it, which is, I give them sort of a hand sign up in the air and I say, do it, when they blast me.
Give me my blasting.
I saw my stalker walk in after me.
What?
And
while
I'm
you're frozen?
Frozen. I can't do anything,
Lanta.
Hallie.
Oh, my Lanta.
And so I'm just staring, and she's at the desk, and I know she's probably followed me there. And there was just nothing I could do. And so I'm totally frozen. And luckily, I just had to break through sort of the cold. And I went completely fetal and just hid kind of in the bottom of the booth until I saw her teethers go out the door.
Oh, like crouching naked in a spray tan booth?
That is basically the image I want to leave everyone with, except that, you know, I'm pretty ripped.
Yeah, of course. I think that's why people get spray tans, like the best president of the United States, for instance, because it gives you some definition.
It gives you definition.
Contour.
Yeah. Well, you can also do different types of makeup that on actual muscle groups. Did you know that?
Oh, cool. Sure. Yeah. That makes sense. Wow. Well,
so,
that's terrifying. I mean,
close
she needs
call.
To be put behind bars.
Very close
She's
call.
Very
well,
dangerous.
I don't know, Hallie. You know, she is dangerous. She's obsessed with me. But I think the next time I have one of these close encounters, I'm just going to go right up to her and say, I'd like you to join me for a Bible study at Starbucks or something and just really see if I can win her for Christ.
I mean, no one is beyond his love.
It's true.
Wow. What an amazing testimony that might be for her someday. Will be for her someday. You know what? Because I believe people who are not currently saved are just pre-Christians.
That's right. How are you, Hallie? What's going on in your life?
Well, I almost had a real mess of drama. I was filling up my Lexus at the come and go on Keystone and must have been absent-minded. Maybe I was praying. Maybe I was thinking about something. I'm not sure. But I didn't take the gas pump out of my gas tank.
Oh, no.
The handle was still wedged into my car.
Okay.
And I
pulled away and got gas everywhere.
I almost pulled away. I was pulling out. It would have pulled the arm right off of there. Gas would have been flying everywhere. But I heard someone screaming. I stopped on the brakes, looked just in time. The entire gas hose was pulled to the extent of its reach. It was about to be ripped out. And I stopped just in time. And the guy comes running out of the come and go, clotheslines himself on the gas hose, falls back, knocks himself out. It rips the hose out of the gas standy uppy thing. And now there are gallons and gallons of gas shooting out the side
goodness.
Of it as if I just tore its arm off and like blood was shooting out everywhere, but it was actually gasoline.
Okay. Well, I hope you didn't have to pay for it.
Well, it was over $1,000. It was $1,020.
Well, gas prices.
That they want
gas
me
prices.
To cover. But I said, I didn't pull that arm out
I
of
know.
The gas body.
Blame Biden.
I see. So I says, I'm not paying it. I'm not paying $1,000.
Oh, no,
I didn't
shouldn't.
Rip the arm off of there. I says, it's the employee of the come and go. But they couldn't wake him up at that point. I said, it seems he came and went.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Just like the Bible tells us that when two or more are gathered in his name, there is love, and that's a small group, and we are lucky enough to be joined today by Twin Hills' very own small group leader, the head of the ministry who coordinates all our lovely small groups. It's my pleasure to introduce Aaron Gilbert. Welcome to the program. How you feeling today, Aaron? Good biblical name.
Yes, it is. I am truly feeling blessed to be here today. Thank you very much for having me here. I was able to work it into my schedule.
I mean, well, your schedule is what everybody looks to around Twin Hills when it comes to where their small group is meeting, what time, how to get there, all that. I mean, you must have a Google calendar to, I mean, it must be like the Matrix or something.
It's very, very complicated. And in some ways, I guess I've made it more complicated over the years. You know, I say it's good to make yourself necessary to a job. And, you know, I feel useful every day and blessed.
Well, I love that.
You're invaluable to us. I'm a member of three, count them, three, Aaron, different small groups. I got one called the Heart Guards, where we're watching what comes into our hearts. I've got
Thursday, 3 p.m.
Yes, I've got one where we're watching our language, and I've got one where I'm watching my weight. And it's just such a blessing to me, and I'm so grateful for you, Aaron.
Well, thank you. You know, I'm grateful for you. I love the church. I love my job. I love doing it. And but let's be honest here. My responsibilities are scheduling, kind of first, foremost, and almost last. There's not a lot else that I can do other than just, you know, keep it's like when you have ants in your kitchen
yep.
and you're just pounding them and pounding them and pounding them, and they just keep coming back.
Yes.
And that's what it is. I mean, I love it. I almost feel like all the groups are my flock, like I'm their minister. But boy, it takes a lot of shearing.
You are a shepherd in a lot of ways. And I'll tell you what, I understand the ant problem. It seems seasonal, and they line up in droves, and they come in the house and as if they're armies marching in line. I mean, oh, the little ants are the worst ones around 100%. The kitchen sink.
Oh, the tiny ones. Yeah, those are the ones. You know, yeah. I don't mind telling you, you know, I live alone now. I'm divorced. And keeping track of the schedule while keeping track of the ants, I sometimes confuse one from the other because we have it's horrible in here.
Yeah,
I need to move to a new place. I don't mean to bring the room down, but it's just
oh really they're that bad.
The conditions are terrible. Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Well,
I mean, I did.
Sometimes they're too deep, like ants climbing over other ants. To
oh
get to
no.
Things.
Oh, ants on ants. I did want to ask you about this because for someone who's so organized and really in charge of all the scheduling, I would say your office is one of the more, I don't know how to put this.
It's a shithole. I'm sorry, Scar, excuse my language. Yeah, it's a pigsty. But you know what? I'm like that great chef who does nothing but eat McDonald's. You hear about those fellas all the time?
Oh,
I
sure.
do.
Yeah.
You know, I keep everything on the outside is good. But yeah, if you walk into my office, you are.
I mean, it's kind of like a little aisle in there because I tried to go by somebody said go by the scheduling office, and I actually had to email you and schedule a time when you could tell me how to get to your office.
Clear the aisle, yeah.
Right, and clear an aisle because I couldn't. I went by the door. And it was just, it almost looked like a cartoon, one of those, you know, when you open the door and everything falls out.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that must be a storage closet, but it was actually your
Can
office.
Can I tell you a secret just between the three of us?
Oh, sure. It
of
is
course.
A podcast.
But, yeah.
A lot of the stuff in that room is not entirely necessary to my job.
Oh. Well, I figured that.
Some of it is for my various hobbies and interests, and some of it is sort of a defense mechanism, like a coat of armor to keep people from coming into my office. I mean, not you, Gray. I love you, yeah. and that's why I cleared an aisle that on Wednesday, the 17th of August, 2021, I believe you're talking about. But
wow.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism and a home for my various hobbies and predilections that
right.
don't fit in my apartment.
Oh, you're I guess a collector.
I was wondering about the, I guess that explains the airplane parts,
yeah.
But maybe also the I didn't understand the toilet paper, how someone could stack toilet paper in quite that way. How did you get the toilet? I guess I'm wondering, like, why all the toilet paper?
Well, there's a lot. For one thing, it's the most sanitary of papers. I'm not sure you're aware of that, but like, if you're using a Kleenex when you're blowing your nose, you're basically stuffing coronavirus up your
nose.
Is that
right?
I mean, like, that stuff is toilet paper, particularly Charmin, is about as sterile a commercially produced paper as you're going to get. So I like to keep it on hand.
Wow.
Yeah, that's there was a lot.
Also,
of
you never know when a bridal shower is going to break out.
Oh, that's true, and you know, or if you need to make a mummy kind of impromptu, like a harvest.
That's
costume.
What I'm saying. You know, you play that wedding dress game at the bridal showers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Or if you have a GI issue.
And there is that.
Yeah,
there was that, I think.
Yeah, oh, yeah, was there that?
But, well, our meeting got rescheduled, I think, for this week from last year because you just had, you had replied GI issue.
It was, I don't mind telling you, it was IBS. It flares up occasionally. And when it does flare up, I use a portable commode, one of those that I put in my office there in the corner. You don't see it because of the stacks of other things. It's behind some of the fuselages. I should get to the airplane parts in a moment. But yeah, when I have an IBS flare-up, it can go on for as long as 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh.
I remember when I said, are you talking about International Bible Study? And then you said, no, I'm talking about this S show.
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm glad we did get a reschedule on the
books. We did. We had a great meeting, I thought. Just really, really touched on some issues that I think really helped your group, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm in a new small group right now, and we are just basically, it's just called Lifted.
Ooh.
And it's just, you know, me and about 7 to 10 other really dedicated guys who are just in there lifting weights for Christ every single morning.
Yep.
And we meet data at 5 a.m. And
don't I know it? 5 a.m. on Saturdays. I don't know how you get your group up on Saturdays.
We love
sixth day of the week.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to ask you about that because there has been some confusion, and I guess that's why we did want to bring you on today, just to clarify for all the people who are listening who happen to be in a small group. It seems like the calendar now, and I'm not even sure how you did this in Google Calendars, but
right.
that there seems like this other day that's between Sunday and Monday.
Right.
There's a new day.
Right. And I do account for that. You know, you notice that everybody gets to their group on time on the day, the conventional days that y'all use in the church.
Right.
But yes, my personal calendar, I had to set up a spreadsheet and then import it into Google Calendar and then file a small lawsuit. To allow Google to give me a back door in there so that I, to accommodate the beliefs of those who have eighth day on their calendar.
So what is the eighth day, though? I guess I'm confused because a lot of people are showing up sometimes going, even just wondering, you know, what is an eighth day? Because, you know.
Well, you guys are you're the clerics here. I'm just a humble scheduler. But I am also an eighth day Adventist.
Oh.
Mm.
And I don't want to go on and on and on about it, but my personal belief system is that back in the early times, back in the Garden of Eden, the good Lord created 8 days in the week. On the seventh day, he rested, and on the eighth day, he partied.
Oh, wow.
I mean, why would you rest for a day just to get back to Monday?
Oh.
Most people use Saturday as their ramp up, but he used Sunday. And so originally there were 8 days, and until we get back to that, having that eighth-day week, we will not be back in the state of bliss that the good Lord intended us to be in before we were cast out of Eden.
But hasn't that just created a bit of confusion?
Oh, it's a motherfucker. Pardon my language. Yeah, it's the worst. But, you know, you got to stick by your beliefs.
Oh.
And my firm belief is that you need an eight-day week, which, you know, do the math on the back of an envelope, and you'll see that it literally adds 50 days to a year if you're going with 50 weeks, or you have to shave off a total of 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49. It was easy math, but it's just reflexive to me now. But you need that eighth day to do jackal. Just, you know, the eighth day was the day that the Lord used to allow Adam and Eve to do whatever they wanted. It was a sin-free day. It was kind of like the purge, but not just with murder. It was a day for everything. And sadly, when Eve took, and this is not to cast aspersions on anyone's gender, when Eve took that bite of the apple and was cast out of Eden along with Adam, who agreed to go with her, where were they cast? Is my question.
Right.
To you. Theological question. Where were they sent?
Well, I guess they were cast out at that point, meaning, you know.
Where did they dwell?
Well, they went out the western gate that was guarded by a seraphim angel that was on fire with swords.
And then they headed off to Nod, which is canonically east of Eden.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you one more question, you two. And this is not theological so much as chronological or temporal, if you don't mind me saying. What happens when you cross the international date line heading from west to east, from Eden to Nod, as it were?
Oh.
You lose a day.
Oh.
You lose a day is what happens. Adam and Eve lost a day. We lost our latter day.
Oh.
I see.
Wow.
Saturday, Sunday, latter day, Monday. That happened when we were cast out. We were sentenced by the Lord into a seven-day week, if you don't mind me saying.
Wow.
So I guess just to circle back because...
Sure.
I'm also, because I think this is a fascinating idea, but for someone who's actually scheduling a large organization like you
are... Can I say
mother...
Because, oh my God,
well,
I'm sorry.
I guess you can. I guess I just wanted to make sure that people are clear because even on your calendar, you have Sunday and then you have Fun Day, which is what you've called this new one.
Right. So Fun Day or Latter Day. Absolutely. Yeah, they both work.
Right. So you've got Sunday, then you've got Fun Day, and then you've got Monday.
Yes.
And are you scheduling anybody on Fun Day?
I'm scheduling stuff for myself and for everybody else who subscribes to the Eighth-Day Adventist Creed.
Wow.
Which works very well with our present church. I subscribe to everything you do. I just add an extra day.
Oh.
So how did does it work if I've got to go to work on, say I'm a dad who's in the recently divorced small group, but I've got to go to work on Monday, but my small group's been scheduled for 8 a.m. on fun day?
Well, that's why I never sleep and never leave the office, because what I have to do is I have to sort of translate the calendar. So I'm aware that, for instance, what's the group you just referenced, the divorced dads group?
Featherless.
Featherless, yeah, they're out of the nest.
Yes.
Featherless fathers, I believe, yeah.
Or
something like that.
Yeah, there's the other one, the recently divorced fathers, unyoked.
But the unyoked group, unyoked just between you and me, those are all fornicators.
Is that right?
Am I speaking out of school?
We can cut this.
Well, we should report it to the Board of Elders. Stat.
They meet on Tuesdays, but they're a good example. You know, when they want to get together and tell themselves that their sins were okay with each other, or that they're trying to be better, or whatever they do in their little group. I don't attend. That wasn't what cost me my marriage. When they get together on a Tuesday, for me, it's obviously 2 days after, 3 days after fun day. There's fun day, Monday, Tuesday. So it's 2 days after, 3 days after Sunday. So I got to calculate it. So the automatically generated Google Calendar message has to then be personally edited by me to translate for all you 7-dayers.
And it must have been stressful on your marriage to have, I can only imagine that having a fun day was stressful on your marriage if your wife was going by a 7-day.
Yeah, she hated it. It wasn't so much that it was that I was on a different calendar than her. It's that she disapproved of some of the things I did on fun day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, what were those things?
Because fun day is a free day. Yeah. You're allowed to do whatever you want. And when I was younger, some of the things that I wanted to do were the sort of things that one would never do in Jesus' 7-day week.
Well, I see.
But you're allowed to on fun day.
Right.
That's my point.
So you kind of view fun day as a day where you can be someone other than yourself.
Did I mention The Purge?
Yes, you did.
That movie.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea behind fun day. Now, I was never a murderer. I just want to be clear about that. But had I been, that would have been the day to do it and still be right with Jesus.
Yeah, off the 7-day calendar.
Thank you very much.
I follow. And just so I have it right in my head, when you call it Latter Day, is it Latter Day like the saints, or is it Latter Day like you got to get up into the gutters?
No. It's Latter Day like the saints, but it's kind of a pun, I suppose, because their Latter Day is after the end times, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Or no, after, now is the Latter Days, I guess.
Right.
For me, Latter Day is just a name that sounds like Saturday, and it's after Sunday.
And is it spelled Latter? Ladder?
TT.
It's a TT. Okay.
It's a TT.
It's a TT, which means later, right?
It's latter than Sunday.
Why do we say latter if we just mean later? I don't know. I mean, we're just adding letters and stretching out the vowel.
Well, I think you need to take that up with the Mormons, don't you? I mean, I was just playing with what they did.
You know, I do think that this is an interesting idea, but something I did want to bring up to you, Aaron, is that even when it comes to my workout group, because, you know, my workout small group, it used to be...
You guys look ripped, by the way. You look great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow.
I don't understand why those peculiar uniforms, Gray. Were those your ideas?
These are, I would consider them, this is a unitard,
right,
but it actually has some detachable bottoms on it in case you need to, so you don't have to step out, as we would say.
Oh, I see.
So it's just a classic powerlifting unitard, but it's got a button. It's got the buttons around the waist.
Yeah, the buttons around the waist and that yellow insignia on the chest, which I do not recognize that symbol. It's you guys look great.
Thank you. But yeah, I guess that's the thing, is guys have been a bit confused because now with this 8-day week, you know.
Right.
There has just been a lot of it's kind of created a lot of infighting because people are going, well, I actually did like 2 leg days this week because, you know, we technically are meeting twice. I guess we're meeting twice a week.
Well, here's what you're doing. Here's what you're doing wrong. You're using both the emails I'm sending you and the auto-generated Google Calendar. If you're using both, you're using both the 8-day and the 7-day schedule. I am translating the Google auto-generated 8-day schedule into to 7 days. So if you ignore the Google email and just use mine to schedule stuff, I think everything will work out great.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think it does. But I still can't figure out if I've done 2 leg days this week or not.
But wouldn't you want 2 leg days since you have 2 legs?
Hallie, you're not going to do 2 leg days. Well, I mean, I'm going to do either.
Then you'd be out of balance.
Right. I mean, you're not doing 1 leg at a time, Hallie.
Oh.
Do you have any hobbies?
A few. It's part of the reason for the cluttered office.
Yeah, I did want to get back to the airplane path.
Yeah, and
Those are... Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask about the case of cheeseburger progresso soup, because that sounds good as heck.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, cheeseburger soup.
And
huh?
it's the only product that Progresso makes that doesn't have oxidants in it. Not the antioxidants, but the oxidants. You won't find it on the ingredient list, but they're using free radical ions in the Progresso soups. Yeah, except in the cheeseburger.
Oh, wow. Well, I like a thick
soup.
That's
what they eat themselves at the plant. If you were to talk to a Progresso person like I have, that's the only thing they'll eat. Everything else they're doing on behest of the government and putting out those additives.
I'll check it out.
Speaking of oxidants, it looks like there's been an airplane oxidant in your...
Yeah, is this a fuselage?
That's a fuselage, yeah. I do collect airplane parts specifically from historical deadly crashes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where, everybody's got a hobby. I'm kind of fascinated. I watch all those documentaries about airline crashes. I'm terrified of them.
Oh, yeah.
And so I collect parts from crash planes, or either I buy them on eBay or... get fast as a dickens to a crash site when one happens.
Oh, have you been first to a crash site before?
Never first. My whole Reddit group makes fun of me for that. But, fingers crossed. I mean, I don't want, God forbid, and please, Jesus, protect those who are foolish enough to take flight. But yes, I listen for it. I want to be, I want to be a first responder, as it were.
Yes, I mean, I do think that it is fascinating because when I finally did have a chance to go by your office, it really was a kind of a combination of I couldn't figure out if someone was living there or if you were possibly building an airplane.
Yes,
or
you're right about that.
I
don't live there, but I am building an airplane. I think the only way to really make use of my hobby is to eventually assemble a complete and functional airplane from crashed planes. Now, why do you ask?
Why?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's the part of the plane that's most reliable. It's the part that survives. If you could create... I could fly right on out of here for the rest of my life and go wherever I want if I had a plane that was completely assembled from the parts of planes that survive crashes.
Wow. Oh, that is incredible. And I've always thought, why don't we make airplanes out of a bunch of black boxes? Then it will be indestructible.
Exactly. Wow. That is kind of an evolved form of the theory that you just put forth.
Have you ever heard, actually growing up, and I just always thought this was an amazing story, speaking of the black box, is that there was a famous airline crash in Australia. I think it was flight 22, and this was like back in the 90s or something, but they found the black box. And Hallie, it was amazing because on the black box you could actually hear Jesus saying, "Everything is going to be fine."
What?
Yeah, you hear the voice of Christ on that black box. And everybody on that flight, they say, was just completely calm as the plane went down because it was a miracle. A lot of people, the black box miracle.
Wow.
You know, that's absolutely right. Qantas 22 is a big topic, as you might imagine, on my Reddit group and my various Facebook groups.
Oh, really?
And there's a lot of people that say that has to do with John Chapter 3, verse 22.
Ooh. Oh, John chapter 3, verse 22.
Yeah,
jog my memory.
I believe that's after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea where he spent some time with them baptizing.
Okay.
Isn't that so nice that you would think that Jesus would pipe in more when a plane was going down? That seems like when you'd really need to hear from him.
I know that I would like to, but we don't know that he doesn't. I mean, the black box, it's a flawed technology because it's man's technology.
Right. Mm. Have you ever found one?
Yes, I have.
Ooh, really? Is it hard to open?
You don't want to open it so much as sort of wire up to it and stuff. I mean, it's in my office. If you want to take a look, it's from that Allegheny crash that happened in West Virginia in 2019. Tragic, 5 passengers, small plane, 5, all of them passed even long before I got there. I was the third guy on the site, but the other two really didn't know what they were looking for. So the black box was mine.
Oh, so you're on. So what are they saying on the black box of the Allegheny flight?
Well, it's not a not. Most of the words are not ones that I can say on your podcast, though I know I have already.
Oh.
You know, they're panicking. Okay. They're panicking. They're upset with each other. There was something going down, some sort of action going down in that cockpit that probably shouldn't have been.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not widely reported, but I would guess about 80 to 90% of all small plane crashes involve some sort of fornication in the cockpit. Oh.
Sexual immorality amongst the pilots?
Well, sometimes it's married sex, so it's not always sexual immorality. You know, if you are bound in holy wedlock with someone and you want to, bump uglies in the cockpit,
well,
you know, that the Jesus smiles on
wow,
that. But
yeah,
it's probably not wise from an aviation standpoint.
Sure.
And so that's what was happening on the Allegheny flight, you think?
That was more of an illicit nature, I think.
Oh, I see. So does it start out positive?
Or there was anger.
It, just like, it was angry all the way?
Oh, it starts out like a day at the beach. In fact, it is a day at the beach. A bunch of people crossing over West Virginia to fly into Virginia Beach, I believe.
Oh, cool.
There's three couples, but one of whom couldn't make it. That's why I said there were five passengers. And I guess the husband who was whose wife couldn't make it was, well, one thing led to another, and a fight ensued in the cockpit.
Oh,
whoa.
Wow.
In fairness, they did yell Jesus' name several times right before the end.
I feel like this is a cautionary tale for wives out there everywhere to really accompany your husband on the fun days, even if you, you know, are busy or whatnot, because you know what? If the mood strikes him, and, you know, we know that men fall victim to their own high sex drives all the time, and it's the way that God made them. And so if your husband starts feeling amorous toward a pilot in a cockpit, I mean, and if you're not there, you know, to make sure that you could, I don't know, satiate him in some appropriate way, whether it's underneath the airline blanket or excusing yourselves to the restroom or whatever you have to do to keep your man from stumbling in the flesh. I mean, I feel like that's on his wife, and now she's got all five of those people's blood on her hands.
Yeah, including her. Yeah, exactly. She can't be a very happy person anymore. I don't follow up with her as much as I used to. I do follow up on all the survivors of the victims.
Is that right?
Too. Just checking clip-ins. I've attended a few funerals. I mean, you know, when you collect, you know, say a seat cushion or the handle of a lavatory door or something,
right,
you're going to want to know a little bit about the people who touched it last.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I don't really want to picture it, but I guess I'm just trying to figure out. So it was two couples. Mm. It was supposed to be six. It was three couples?
It was supposed to be three couples.
Three couples plus the pilot. So then you had two couples. And
No. The pilot was a member of one of the couples.
Oh, I see. And then is the theory that is that the solo wife was somehow sinning with the pilot, or did you
or
could
was
you figure
it a
it
man
out?
With a man?
It was a man with a man.
Oh, it grieves the heart of God.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yep. Look, if you both of you are welcome to come to my office. We would need to schedule it a month in advance or so I could clear away. But you're welcome to come to my office and hear this recording. Among the many recordings that I have from black boxes, this one's special to me, not because I enjoy the sin that I'm hearing on the recording, but because I did find that black box.
That is amazing. And I guess I'm just curious. So, like, something happens in the cockpit, and then the flight goes down because of it. And are the other two couples?
Well, there was a fight.
Oh.
And an animal was loose at the end.
Oh no.
And there was a storm.
Okay.
And apparently some bad fish. Somebody made tuna salad that I think had something to do with it all.
And all that's on the black box.
It's all in the black box. It is. It would be a comedy of errors if it didn't end in the gruesome deaths of five people.
Really? Wow. I mean, it sounds like...
Because everything that could go wrong did. You know, if I ever were to, you know, write a play or a comedy sketch, that would be the thing, but they would live.
That is funny if you think about a comedy sketch like that, if there was just like, you know, all these people. But yeah, again, you do pray for those who went down in the flight. But I do like that idea. That is a very funny idea.
I've never been part of the church's comedy small group that meets on Thursdays.
Oh, they're so funny.
They are so they funny.
The hip hip hurrahs.
The hip hip hurrahs, and they make a joyous laugh unto the Lord. They really do.
They really do.
They are so funny.
I mean,
clean
I just laugh
comedy.
And laugh because yes. Queen teen comedy is the best comedy.
Yes.
It is.
Yes. You know, art with a message, makes other art seem, you know, foolish.
I don't even laugh at stuff when people try to say ditty jokes or something. I don't even laugh. I don't think it's funny.
It's not. It's not.
It's not funny.
I agree. Except for Dave Chappelle. He's funny.
Well, Aaron, I have to hand it to you. I don't blame you for not getting into airplanes yourself after experiencing.
Not until I finish mine.
Until it's yours yet, because I don't understand how these planes go. You know, it just makes no sense the way these heavy things are getting up there and getting down. It makes absolutely no sense. And, you know, I wouldn't get on a plane either if I didn't really powerfully believe in, you know, that God is actually holding the plane in the palm of his hand as, you know, it's flying.
Oh, that's interesting.
To Phoenix.
And you fly all the time, don't you?
I really do, more than I'd like, you know. And, you know, I've been getting in a lot of fights lately with people who, you know, have masks on next to me and stuff. It's just unpleasant at this point.
Yeah, I can understand that. Because you know what, masking, as long as you're eating the Progressive cheeseburger soup and stuff, you're gonna be fine. As long as you're using Charmin, you're gonna be fine.
That's a hearty soup that sticks to your ribs.
It sure does. You can't take it on a plane with you though, unless you put it in a plastic thermos.
Really? It's fascism, I swear. Aaron Gilbert was played by the wonderful Adam Felber. Check out his podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and hear him being hilarious on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Follow him at Adam Felber. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.